We now commence with an area which talks about the share capital, structure of a company, debentures, lien on shares, forfeiture of shares, and transfer and transmission of shares. Well, friends, we commence with the concept of what exactly is a share. It is a portion out of the paid-up capital of a company and includes stock. Share, by and large, as Pavel says, it is not something which is money, but is connoted as an interest in terms of money, so that any rights or liabilities that are in the contract as far as the shareholder and the company are concerned, it is borne with the terms of the covenant in the contract. Well, friends, we now move into the area of share capital structure of a company. We have two kinds of capital. This is equity share capital with voting rights, with differential rights as to dividend, voting or otherwise, preferential share capital, share certificate, and stock. Let me now just go into an insight of the two kinds of shares. My preference share, as the name indicates, is a share wherein you have a preferential right of dividend. That is, before the equity shareholder is provided with a return on his capital, the preference share holder will definitely have an edge wherein he is given the first preferential right as to dividend. And in the event of winding up of the company, the preferential man has a preferential stake over the surplus assets of the company, over the equity shareholder. Equity shares, that which is not preference is equity. And therefore, they have voting rights. They have differential rights wherein their rights are affected as far as equity share capital is concerned. These holders have a stake wherein they are deemed to be the equity or ventured owners of the capital of the company. We now come to what exactly is a share certificate. A share certificate is a document of title which indicates that the person in whose name the share stands is the right and authentic owner of the share. And therefore, this is a prima facie. Prima facie means prima, primarily, facie, apparently, on the face of it, as the genuine holder of shares. On every share certificate, we have the nominal value, a distinctive share number, the shares which are already paid for, and this share certificate could be not only in the name of a single holder, it could be in joint names. But wherever it is in joint names, it is obviously the first holder who enjoys the right of dividend, the right to vote, and all immediate rights as far as the share is concerned. Similarly, if he is an equity holder in the books of the depository, wherein this is a recent terminology as far as depository equity shareholders are concerned, there is a certificate which is issued in the books of the depository which indicates he is the holder of equity shares of the company. Now we go down to the last area, what is stock? Stock indicates fully paid shares converted and accumulated into one consolidated holding, which is called as a stock. The stock obviously will have a fraction out of the nominal value of the share so that it can be transferred out of this fractional portion from one person to another. So what is basically the difference between a share and a stock? A share has a fixed nominal value, whereas a stock can be in a fraction. The shares can be issued to the public only with a fixed value, wherein the stock is always of an unequal amount, wherein it has a fractional value. Now, before the shares are converted into stock, there are four important things that I would like to convey the same. A stock is normally issued when a company is limited by shares. There must be a specific provision in the Articles of Association. There must be a resolution passed by the shareholders in a meeting. And a copy of the resolution is filed by the registrar when shares are converted into stock. The nature of share capital of a company. The capital is the sum total of the nominal or face value of the shares that a company is able to collect from all the holders, which makes up the share capital or authorized capital of the company. We now go into the different parts of the share capital, which are as follows. Authorized capital. Now, this is the maximum capital, which is called as the registered capital, with which the company can raise or be started, which is the maximum amount that it can raise as far as a company is concerned. This is mentioned in the capital clause of the Memorandum of Association. Authorized capital is divided into issued capital. Now, that part of the capital which is meant for the public for the purposes of a public offer, as we call it, is called as an issued capital. And therefore, what is issued is later on then purchased by the public is called as subscribed capital. So, that capital which is purchased or taken up by the public is called subscribed capital, called up. As and when the company is in need of money, it makes a call. So, the call is a demand made by the company on the shareholder to pay the unpaid balance on his share. And this is called as call money. So, that amount which is demanded by the company is called as called up capital. That which is actually paid by the subscriber on the called amount is called as the paid up capital. And then we have finally what is called as reserved capital. Capital which is kept as a reserve and which is not touched on, and which is used only in the event of any kind of winding up of the company, is called as reserve capital. We now go into the area of application of premiums received on shares. When a share is issued to the public and the amount exceeds the face value of the share, for example, your share has a face value of 10 rupees. It is issued to the public at 15 rupees. So what is the difference amount? The difference is 5 rupees. So this 5 rupees is said to be an issue at a premium. Now here, whenever a share is issued at a premium, the excess amount is transferred to an account called the securities premium account. The securities premium account is normally utilized for five important purposes. It is used for the purposes of any buyback of shares. It could be issued for any capitalization in the event of bonus shares. It could be for the purposes of redemption of preference shares. It could be by way of any commission as far as any debentures are concerned. And when the company goes in for a buyback of its shares, the money is normally taken from a securities premium account. However, friends, I would like to have you informed, no dividend shall be paid from the securities premium account, because this would amount to a reduction of the share capital of the company and therefore tantamounts to a reduction which is not allowed. So strictly, it's an ultra-vires transaction. I'm sure you will recall that I had mentioned it earlier. What is ultra-vires? Beyond the powers of the memorandum. So if they do something, the directors shall be personally liable unto the company and unto the shareholder where dividends are declared out of the premium account. Let me go into the last portion. Issue of shares at a discount. It is the opposite of premium. Normally, a company will never issue a share at a discounted rate, and it is not supposed to be issued at a discounted rate. What is a discount? A share which is of a face value of 10 rupees. When you issue it at 8 rupees, the 2 rupees which is at a lesser price, which is at a discounted price, is an issue which is called as a discounted issue. This is strictly prohibited under the Companies Act 2013. Of course, there is an exception here as far as sweat equity shares are concerned. What is a sweat equity share? We will be doing it very shortly. When a share is given at a discounted rate to the employees or to your own officers in the company, this can be by way of a sweat equity share. Otherwise, normally, there is a strict prohibition as far as issue of shares at a discount is concerned. And if there is any default committed by any officer of the company, he is fined for a period of 6 months and a fine not less than 1 lakh to a maximum of 5 lakhs is levied on the officer responsible for such an issue. We now go into the area of sweat equity shares. Now, what is exactly sweat equity share? A sweat equity share is what is out of your own perspiration, as the name indicates. So this is a share which is issued by the company as a sort of an incentive, which is similar to ESOPs. Okay, now I'll just first go into what exactly is sweat equity share. A sweat equity share is a share which is given at a discount to the employee who comes out with some kind of technical know-how. Friends, you are aware, this technical know-how is a kind of an intellectual property. This is my own creativity when I come out with a new manufacturing process. I come out with a new invention. I come out with a new product. I come out with a new drug as far as pharmaceuticals are concerned. So today, as an incentive, I'm giving an equity share to my employee at a discounted rate is called as a sweat equity share. Now, for the purposes of a sweat equity share, there are four important particulars that I would just like to have it shared with you. It is normally done only after a special resolution is passed by the company. The board of directors are required to approve of the same. Then, as far as the special resolution is concerned, what is the price of the shares in the market? What is the discounted rate that you are giving to your employee? And what or who are the class of employees who are enjoying the sweat equity share has to be clearly mentioned. And in the event of all listed shares, these sweat equity shares shall conform to all the rules as laid down by SEBI, the Securities Exchange Board of India. My sweat equity shareholder has the same rights. He is online pari passu, that we call it, on the same lines as any other equity shareholder. He has the same rights, he has the same liabilities, he has the same restrictions. Today, a very, very popular concept in the market is ESOP, employee stock option purchase. You're allowing your employees, you're allowing your officers, you're allowing your directors to purchase the shares of your own company at a predetermined price, which is at a future date. So this gives a sort of an incentive to the employee to have a beneficial ownership in the interest of the company. And therefore, when you give the share by means of an incentive, it is called as an employee stock option purchase. We now come into redemption of preference share. The redemption of preference share normally, because a company is not allowed to have any issue of irredeemable preference share. So, a redeemable preference share is a share which can be redeemed within a period of 20 years. It can be redeemed even after 20 years, say up to 30 years, for any infrastructure or any kind of development projects of the company. It could be any kind of project with concerning with any constructional plan or any rural development scheme, whereby this is essentially for any infrastructure projects. Now, as far as this redemption is concerned, it can be only through two main sources. It can be through divisible profits of the company, or it can be through any fresh issue of shares. Now we go down to what exactly is a beneficial interest. Every person who has an interest in the books of the recordery or in the books of the depository as an equity shareholder and as a beneficial owner of shares is called as having a beneficial interest in the company. Nomination. When a person appoints or nominates a person in whom the shares will be vested after his demise is called as a nominee. Supposing the shares are held in joint names, all these joint holders are required to appoint a person in the capacity of a nominee who will have all the rights or interest in the said property. Now, supposing my nominee is a minor, what do I do? In such an eventuality, can a minor be a nominee? Yes, of course. But then there has to be an adult guardian on behalf of a nominee who will be having the responsibility as far as any liability of the minor is concerned. Because we have seen in Contract Act, my friends, that a minor's agreement is void ab initio. It cannot be enforced legally. So, if my minor is a nominee, I need a lawful guardian who will be responsible as far as a minor nominee is concerned. Now, coming to the area on blank transfer. In earlier times, the transferor would only share or put his signature in a transfer form and leave the transferee's name without completion. So, a form in which the transferee's name is left incomplete is called as a blank transfer. Why does he do it? He leaves this because he would like to sell the shares at a future point of time. It could be a speculative tendency, or he may want to have it transferred at a future date. So to avoid stamp duty, he keeps having it transferred wherein the name of the transferee is not mentioned. So ultimately, the person in whose hands the share ultimately vests puts his name as the transferee and lodges it with the company is called as blank transfer. Well, today, with the DMAT system or DMATing of shares through companies, this system of blank transfer is no longer popular or, in fact, is totally redundant. We now move down to forged transfer. A transfer in which the transferor's signature is forged or impersonated is called as a forged transfer. Is this a valid transfer? Sorry, my dear friends, this is a void share certificate. And if the company, on the basis of any person who gives it or lodges it with the company, the person who takes it in good faith or the buyer who takes it innocently will have no rights on such a forged transfer. For example, a company has taken shares to the extent of a share certificate wherein this share certificate is given to a person P, but P has forged the signature of the transferor. Now P very conveniently lodges it with a company. The company, through inadvertence, has registered the transfer. This share certificate is then sold to a third party. Can the third party have a rightful claim over the share certificate? No, It cannot. So therefore, on a forged transfer, there arises no rights as far as any innocent third party buyer is concerned. We next move down to lien on shares. My friends, you are aware, we had this concept done earlier in an area which was called as bailment, wherein we spoke about an area which is called confiscation or retention by a company. Now, what exactly is lien? Let me first have it indicated to you. The right of a person to keep back something when money outstanding is not paid or repaid back is called as lien. For example, A has given his 2 meters of cloth to B, a tailor. B is to receive a sum of ₹250 for stitching charges. A has not paid the amount. B, the tailor, tells A, I will retain the cloth till you pay the money. This is called lien. Now, how do we use it in company law? The shareholder has taken a borrowing, he has taken a loan. Can the company confiscate the shares? Yes. The company confiscates the shares and tells the shareholder, you will not sell the shares until the money outstanding which is required to be paid by you unto us is concerned, is sought to be paid. You will not have the shares sold off. And this is the technical terminology wherein lien is a right not under the Companies Act but essentially under the Articles of Association of a company. Now, as far as lien is concerned, supposing the shareholder pledges these shares or gives it for mortgage to a third party, can the company recover it from the mortgagee? Technically, no, it cannot, because the pledgee or the mortgagee has a right over these shares. However, as far as lien is concerned, the company tells the shareholder, look, within a period of 14 days, if you're not going to make the payment, we shall have every right to sell off the shares. And this is a right which is permitted by the company. We then move down to the area of forfeiture. What is forfeiture? It is a right of cancellation or termination of shares in the event of non-payment of call money. So, friends, any kind of cancellation by the company in the event of non-payment of calls is a terminology which is called as forfeiture of shares, wherein the company tells the shareholder, look, we will give you some time. We give you a notice period of 14 days, by which time you will have to pay it to us, failing which these shares will be reissued to a third party. In which case, the third party holder, any person through whom we are routing the shares, will be allowed to purchase the shares and his name will be registered as a registered holder. However, the man whose shares are forfeited, his name is already there in the ROM, the register of members. He continues to be liable for a period of 1 year as a contributory in the event of winding up of the company. Surrender of shares. What exactly is the meaning of surrender, friends? A person waives or gives up his right to keep the shares with him and tells the company, I want to give up the shares and give it or relinquish my rights unto you. So this is called surrendering the right. Now, can the surrender be done? Is a very pertinent question. Surrender of shares when it is partly paid, that is a face value of 10 rupees, my friends. A sum of rupees, 6 rupees is already paid. 4 rupees which remains, the shareholder is unable to pay. Now, if partly paid shares are required to be surrendered, this is justified where forfeiture is the process that is to be done by the company. And if forfeiture is justified, then a surrender is possible. However, surrender is not possible in 3 circumstances when it becomes illegal. For example, a company had a financial problem. A man was holding 100 shares. He surrendered 40 shares back to the company, and the company took these shares and had it registered as a valid surrender. Is the company justified by doing so? No, the company is not justified. Why? Three issues are here. One, company, you cannot do an act wherein a surrender releasing the shareholder from his liability wherein he had to pay the money and he has not paid is not permitted. Any kind of a reduction in the share capital without the sanction of the court or the NCLT, the National Company Law Tribunal, is not permitted. And thirdly, any kind of an illegal transaction whereby the directors, what do you do in the event of a surrender? You're trying to buy back the shares. Now, this kind of a buyback is illegal. It's ultra vires. And therefore, any such transaction which is illegal, the surrender is not permitted. A surrender can be permitted when a shareholder having the same face value wants to exchange it with new shares. So any kind of an exchange with shares of the same face value can be surrendered. Otherwise, a surrender is normally not permitted. We now go into the last area, which is voting rights. When a shareholder is required to take a decision as far as the company is concerned, he's required to vote on a particular proposal which is put by the company. So this voting could be on the basis of whether he is an equity shareholder or whether he is a preference shareholder. So as far as the preferential right is concerned, he has a right of voting. Similarly, the equity shareholder also has his rights varied according to his rights as far as equity shares are concerned. Now, can the company prohibit a man from voting? No. Unless there is a call on a share and the money is not paid, or the company exercises a lien on shares, technically, company, you cannot exercise any restrictions on the voting rights of a person. What are the different kinds of voting? Voting are of five kinds. Voting by voice vote, voting by a show of hands, voting by poll, voting by postal ballot, and voting by electronic means. Voting by a voice vote. The chairman, when he presides over the meeting, he's asking the shareholders in a public hall, exclaim those who say yes and those who say no. On the basis of this voice, he's able to have the yes and no determined, and this is called as a voice voting system. Next is show of hands. The chairman puts in a proposal, those for, kindly raise your hands, and therefore, when members raise their hand and the vote is sought to be determined on the basis of the hand raising, is called as show of hands. Voting by poll. This is a system wherein a proxy, that is a man who substitutes on behalf of the original shareholder when he is unable to attend a meeting, this man demands a poll. A poll is a voting on the basis of equity shares. So a poll is normally conducted when, in the event of a company with a share capital, with persons having 1/10 of the voting power together with shares not less than a paid amount of 5 lakhs, or if there is a voting power without share capital, 1/10 of the voting power of the persons, appoint a proxy and ask him to have a vote conducted, which is called as voting by proxy under a poll system. Now, this poll, again, we have a scrutinizer appointed by the chairman wherein he will collect the votes for and against and put it for the purpose of scrutiny. Voting by postal ballot. There are certain sensitive issues as far as the company is concerned regarding a director or an auditor, wherein he would not like to have the audience facing him with certain sensitive questions. So, Shareholders are asked to convey their voting either by electronic means or by postal ballot. And on these issues, the scrutinizer collects the votes and puts it either for or against, which is called as postal ballot system. And today we have the most popular means where there are more than 1,000 shareholders, which is called as the electronic means of voting, wherein it is done through a centralized server, which is sought to be monitored, and thereafter maintaining confidentiality or secrecy as far as the voting is concerned. We have a chartered accountant or a cost accountant who will collect the votes and see that the voting is done in absolute secrecy. Restrictions on a buyback. Now, as far as buyback is concerned, the company is prohibited wherein there could be a prohibition as far as lending any kind of loans is concerned for a buyback scheme. Now here, any kind of restrictions as far as buyback is concerned is mainly with a subsidiary company or with an investment company, wherein the company lays a prohibition on buying back the shares. Dividend. Friends, what exactly is a dividend? It is a return on the investment or the paid share capital. So, here is a return or any kind of profit which is sought to be distributed to the shareholder, which is called as a dividend. You have to understand that this is different from a bonus share. A bonus share is definitely a capitalization of accumulated profits, whereas a return on the basis of profits that is done currently is called as a dividend. And this dividend could be a proposed dividend, an interim dividend, or a final dividend. A proposed dividend, a dividend which is proposed by the board of directors in a company and which they have decided to give the shareholder is called proposed. That which is in between is called interim, and that which is final is one which is conclusive and which is decided by the board of directors of the company. Now, before a dividend is declared, there are five important things that I would like just like to have it shared with you. A dividend shall be paid only out of present profits. It shall be paid out of past profits or by way of any advances given either by the central government or the state government for the purposes of dividend. A dividend shall not be paid out of the capital of the company. If such a dividend is paid, the director shall be personally liable unto the company. A dividend shall not be paid without giving scope for depreciation of assets, past and present. Dividend cannot be paid without setting off current losses. And before any dividend is paid, a portion is required to be kept for future reserves of the company. What exactly is the procedure for dividend? A dividend is normally declared by the board of directors, and this is on the basis wherein the shareholders also have a right, but this rate cannot be more than what the directors have laid down. It shall be declared in an AGM. The interim dividend shall be in between two AGMs. A dividend is required to be declared within 30 days after the resolution is taken, and this is sought to be deposited in a bank account within a period of 5 days. Any unpaid dividend will be thereafter transferred to a separate account, which is called as unpaid dividend account. Again, if there is no person who claims the same, it goes into the Investor and Education Fund, which is a fund comprising of unpaid amounts of a shareholder. We now move down to the last area, which is debenture. What is a debenture? A debenture is a debt. It is any kind of a stock or any kind of a scrip, any kind of an amount wherein the company owes the debenture holder. So, a debenture is a kind of a debt security wherein the company owes the holder, who is called as a debenture holder, and acknowledges that, look, we have a debt towards you. These debentures shall be redeemed after a period of time wherein it has to be paid back after a specified period. These debentures can be converted either into equity shares or preferential shares. If the debenture is not redeemed, can the debenture holder file a case against the company? Yes, definitely. A suit can be enforced and there can be a specific performance of such an act through the company. If there are more than 500 debenture holders, normally a trustee is sought to be appointed. Why? Because a debenture holder is like a creditor who provides money to the company. So, in order to take care of his interest, in order to take care or protect such a debenture holder, a trustee is normally appointed by the company. We move down to the area as to what exactly are securities, which is a very popular terminology that is employed under the Companies Act of 2013. What is the meaning of a security? A security includes a share. Derivative. A derivative is a debt which is derived, which is an acknowledgement of a debt due by the company unto the holder. It includes any units, it includes a security receipt, it includes any other instrument issued to the investor under any mutual fund scheme, it includes any certificate or instrument whereby it is receivable. Government securities are also called securities, and any rights or interest in securities are today coming under the purview of securities. The allotment of securities by the company, wherein there is a minimum subscription which is required to be raised by the company before it issues shares, as I've already mentioned, the derivatives are consequences or the results that are derived by a contract with the company and the holder, so that any kind of differences in the amount of outstanding is sought to be acknowledged by the company unto the holder. We now come into the area issue of securities. Now, securities can be issued by the public company through a public offer, by way of any kind of sale of shares, or in the event of a listed company where the prices are quoted. As far as private companies are concerned, it could be by public, or more to say, it could be by a private placement. Now, as far as private companies are concerned, this is a very popular terminology where shares are sought to be issued to a small group of your own friends or relatives who are taking the shares and financing companies, so that you, when you offer it not to the public but through a small group of friends or relatives known to you, it is called as a private placement. Today, thanks to the DMATed form, we have all public offer only through DMATed area, wherein the companies are having their own agents, wherein all the share transfers, transmissions, any kind of securities are sought to be in the DMATed form, which is done by an agency or a financial institution through the company itself. Global depository receipts. It is a receipt issued as far as foreign investments are concerned, wherein a company which has branches otherwise outside India, a receipt is sought to be acknowledged, which is called as a global depository receipt. Punishment: any person acquiring shares in a false name, in a fictitious name, shall be penalized, whereby this is regarded as a severe penalty for acquisition of any kind of security in a fictitious name. Prohibition of buyback in certain circumstances. Now, as far as buyback is concerned, there is a rule which lays down that as far as any buyback of a company is concerned, it will not be allowed in four circumstances. As far as banking companies are concerned, wherein it is in their normal course of financing, any kind of a buyback which is done by investment companies, any kind of buyback as far as subsidiary companies are concerned is totally prohibited. I now come down to the last area, which is transfer and transmission of shares. Well, friends, let me have you informed as to what is the technical difference between transfer and transmission. When a person wants to sell the shares or give the shares to B, there is a transfer wherein A is called the transferor and B is the transferee. Transmission: when A dies, he becomes insolvent. The legal heir or the representative, or in the case of insolvency, the man who takes over the security is called as the official assignee. The man comes in place of the shareholder or the insolvent holder, and this is called transmission. I'll give you 5 points of differences before I go down to the procedure on transfer and transmission. Transfer has got two parties. Transmission has one party. Why? The man dies. The man becomes insolvent. So you don't have another person until he is appointed. Transfer is a voluntary act. Transmission is by operation of law. That is, it is either through succession act or either through process of Hindu law or through succession or insolvency law. There is consideration involved in transfer. Money is to be paid. Operation of law, transmission: no money, you get the shares automatically. In the event of a transfer, there can be a refusal by the company or by the directors, because in a private company, there are restrictions on transfer. Transmission normally will not be refused because it is in the normal course. When you produce a death certificate or a probate or a succession certificate, the company normally will not disallow transmission. So, now going down to the process. Transfer and transmission has got 5 important steps with regard to procedure, which I will now go into very briefly. Step number 1, a transfer is conducted by any individual along with his legal representative, wherein it can be transferred to any other person. In case of a transfer, there is the instrument of transfer along with the share certificate, which has to be lodged with the company within a period of 60 days from the transfer. Now, supposing the shares are not fully paid, what is to be done? The company informs the transferee and tells him within 2 weeks, are you in favor of this transfer? If you have no objection, let us know. Failing which, if the shares are not paid, you, the transferee, is bound to pay the money. So, a 2 weeks' time is given unto the transferee. Fourthly, it is placed before the board of directors for their approval so that they give their consent. After this process is over, the instrument is formally lodged and kept ready. Within a period of 2 months, as far as memorandum of association subscribers are concerned, within a period of 2 months from the date of allotment, within a period of 1 month from the instrument of transfer, supposing it is debentures, it is within a period of 6 months that the entire transfer takes place. The records of the depository accordingly will be taken care of as far as equity shareholders are concerned. And supposing there is a refusal on the part of the company, what does the transferee do? He has a right of appeal after a period of 60 days, that is within a period of 30 days when the notice comes to him. He can appeal to the National Company Law Tribunal that my shares have not been transferred or transmitted by the company, so that the tribunal, after hearing both the parties, will rectify the register and will proceed directing the company, in case there is a default, to pay damages to the shareholder. Thank you, my friends. I think we have had a very thorough insight into the share capital structure, the concept of equity preferential shareholdings, the concept of lien on shares, forfeiture of shares, and we have ended with transfer and transmission process. Thank you very much.